The opinions expressed in the Spirited Sports Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Spirited Sports Podcast. From the ovations of the crowd to the tense moments of anticipation, it's safe to say that sports have a special way of bringing people from all walks of life to a united front. On this fun-filled podcast, Nick DeChico, Todd Ashtua, Tully Kaka-Latrice, and many more explore the spirited stories, highs and lows, and triumphs and heartbreaks that makes being a sports fan an emotional roller coaster ride. The Spirited Sports Podcast is the perfect place for sports fans to get the latest sports news, insights, and opinions. Fans are the backbone of the sports industry. Whether we're podcasters, broadcasters, or listeners, our journey to sports fandom has to start somewhere because we're all fans first. This is the Spirited Sports Podcast.
Welcome back to the Spirited Sports Podcast, episode number 42 for you today. Nick and Tully with you here, and we have a special guest in the house, Owen Hill, back with us again. Owen, how you doing?
Good, man. Spirits are a little bit down after yesterday's baseball game. Today's a new day, and I'm excited to get after it.
Were you actually there during the game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sitting in dead center.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to have a lot to talk about sure with this game.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, let's get started. Actually, we will start in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Tully, why don't you start us off?
Yes, so taking it to the court, the National Basketball Association, starting with Giddy calling game from deep. An ending already qualified as incredible becomes unbelievable as Josh Giddy's half-court heave puts the Bulls past the Lakers. A lot can happen in 24 hours. For LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, that amount of time was the difference between the winning and losing ends of buzzer-beating game winners. One night after James domed the cape at the horn, he saw an opposing player do the same as Josh Giddey's heave from half court hit nothing but net as time expired. The Australian guard's shot capped an incredible rally and wild ending in Chicago, which pocketed the 119-117 victory as part of a late-season resurgence. And for the game situation, Chicago had already pulled off one near impossible sequence, scoring back-to-back three-pointers in a make-steal-make fashion that would have done Reggie Miller proud. The resulting one-point lead and the jubilation in United Center vanished almost immediately when the Lakers' Austin Reeves put LA back up by one with a layup. The Bulls were left trailing again with 3.3 seconds, 94 feet, and no timeouts between them and the final buzzer. Nick?
The Lakers aren't looking as good as we thought they were. The Luka-James combination on offense looks great, but their defense is kind of slipping here. I don't know, giving up easy baskets, giving up on the defense a little bit there. In a game where every point matters in the NBA, it's quite difficult to see, you know, these easy points being given up by the Lakers. But into the difficulty, you know, Patrick Williams took an inbound from Giddy mm-hmm. and then gave it right back to the point guard, who had a much clearer runway to offer a game-winning prayer. Even with LeBron James contesting the shot himself, you know, the shot officially logged as a 46.5 feet driving three and is most often seen attempted by fans harboring hopes of cash or, you know, automobile prizes at a halftime event. But, you know, the win was a top highlight in Giddy's career here, a great accomplishment. Game-winning shots of that caliber, you don't see very often
No. Go
in.
As a, like, regular season non-conference game, like, that gets, like, a near-perfect score. You know, the stakes sometimes often weigh it down, but the sheer difficulty of the shot itself, never mind the absurd handful of possessions leading up to it, outweighs other factors here. Also, considers how this incredible ending serves as an exclamation point for the Bulls, who have won 9 of their last 11 games. Giddy represents a long-awaited change of direction for the Bulls. On Thursday, he rewarded that decision in unbelievable fashion. Owen, your thoughts on all of this, and maybe now that the season is approaching the last couple games for the regular season for the NBA, what you maybe now make of the Caruso for Giddy trade?
Yeah, so that that was one heck of a sequence to end that game. You don't see that whole lot in the NBA. It's something I would expect out of March Madness, which the sequence at the end, I didn't get to watch the whole game, but I of course saw the sequence on Twitter afterwards. Mm-hmm. And oh man, like it's like college kids playing. Terrible turnover to let, I believe it was White who hit the second three to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, watching Reeves go up, you're like, okay, Lakers are going to ice this, 94 feet to go. And, of course, Giddey sinking that shot. Obviously, I don't think the context of the trade changes really because it's one play. Like, Giddey could take that shot nine more times and miss it all nine. Like, I don't think we can take too much from it. But the Bulls, man, I think... future's a little bit brighter than it was at the start of the year. I think they're still going to be stuck in the middle for the foreseeable future. I think they need another guy. I think Giddey is a good starting piece.
Mm-hmm.
Those Bulls, man, good for them for going on a little bit of run here. Hopefully they can get out of the play-in and into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, we've seen, like, the Hawks and Bulls and the Heat kind of stuck in the play-in these last couple seasons. So we'll see if that can, you know, change moving forward. But how about the Lakers? You know, now with AD out and Doncic in and, you know, LeBron still there and Bronny in the mix, too. What do you make of all of that?
Yeah, so I think the Lakers are, like, when you have two guys that, like, in LeBron and Luka that have done it on the biggest stage, can do it on the biggest stage, both of their skill sets translate perfectly to the playoffs. They're do everything players, and they have so much gravity that opens up the floor for the other three guys that are playing with them. I don't think you can count them out, and the amount of experience on that team between LeBron and Luka now, and even like head coach
JJ Redick.
Yeah, sorry, just lost the name for a second there. But between the amount of playoff experience between those three, like, I think there are teams in the West that are more talented and probably better. I'm looking at OKC mainly, and even Denver. But the Lakers are going to be a tough out for whoever gets to play them. I would not want to be on their side of the bracket.
Yeah, I hear you there. And Nick, why don't you take us through the NBA standings?
Actually, you know what? I want to ask a question. Oh, and about the Lakers' defense. We talked about the offense, Luka, James, Bronny, all that. What about their defense? Kind of slipping a little bit. I kind of mentioned that at the beginning. You know, even in this game against the Bulls, giving up, what, 9 points in the last 30-something seconds?
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on their defense, and how could that impact their playoff?
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to it. Like, the end-of-game execution there is super disappointing from, like, I just highlighted how they're built for the playoffs, and it's a one game, so we're not going to overreact and throw a fit over it, but the late game execution and not being able to get the ball in and hold on to a lead, that's the kind of thing you see in March Madness, like these high-seeded teams who can't execute down the stretch and end up giving up massive upsets. There is a little bit of that vibe from the Lakers, and we know that they're a super top-heavy team, right? Like, we don't know what they're going to get out of, forget like the 8th, 9th, 10th guy in the rotation, like the 4th, 5th, 6th guy in the rotation sometimes. Like, we do sometimes question the Lakers team building. So I don't think we're going to panic over anything yet. There's a long way to go, but I think it's about getting ready for the playoffs for them for sure.
So let's take a look at the NBA standings here a little bit. The latest moves here, after games played on March 27th, the Rockets knock off the Jazz, increasing their lead over number 3 Nuggets with 2 games. The Grizzlies lose to the Thunder. They remain at 5th seed with a head-to-head tiebreaker with the Lakers. Mavs defeat the Magic, climb to number 10, and trail the Kings at number 9 by half a game. The Kings then defeated the Trailblazers, and they remain at number 9. The Cavs beat the Spurs, and they increased their lead over number 2 Celtics. And the Pacers then defeated the Wizards, and they remain at number 4 with 2.5 games over the number 3 Knicks. The Magic lose to the Mavs, so they remain a game and a half. They remain a half a game behind the number 7 Hawks. The Heat knock off the Hawks, and they remain a game up on the Bulls. And the Hawks lose to the Heat, as we said. They remain a half game ahead of number 8 Magic.
And for the Mavericks, Owen, I mean, you know, a new look Mavericks team with bringing AD into the mix. So obviously, Kyrie, who's out for the season, and Klay, who's there as well. I mean, what do you make of where the Mavericks are at post Doncic after that trade?
I think the best way to put it for me and to describe my feelings and how I feel for their fans is feel bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like heartbreaking. Like, I still can't get behind trading Luka Doncic. I get, like, maybe you don't think he's a supermax player, but he's the kind of guy you have to suck it up and pay anyways. And then between all the injuries, Kyrie done for the year. I think Klay's done for the year as well.
Mm-hmm.
AD's on his way back, but missed a significant stretch of time and is not going to, like, change the outlook and turn them into, like, a serious contender in the stacked Western Conference right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough that they couldn't bottom out and have a chance at Cooper Flag, right? You just feel bad for them.
Definitely, and definitely.
And you look at Cooper Flag, too. He's been pulling off some crazy stuff with Duke there at March Madness.
Looked really good last night against Arizona.
Yes,
really
he
good.
Did.
Duke winning 100-93 over Arizona. Cooper Flag, 30 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Obviously, expected to go number one, still only 18 years old. Owen, is it safe to say that Cooper Flag is a generational talent?
Well, whenever you talk about 18-year-olds, I don't think it's ever safe, right? Like, mm-hmm. he could develop, maybe his mindset doesn't translate. Like, how many number one picks have gone number one in the NBA and then turned out to be busts? Look at Zion, man. Like, Zion was the man. All through high school, he was the number one pick forever and has not been able to put together anything in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He's good when he's on the floor, but he's never on the floor, right?
I think with Zion, two injuries have definitely hindered that ability as well.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying with Cooper Flagg. Like, if Cooper Flagg can't sort it out and stay healthy, like, it's going to be the same thing, right? So is Cooper Flagg the unanimous number one pick? Yes. Do I think he is going to be a superstar in the league for a long time? Yes. Would I do anything for the Raptors to win the lottery and get, like, have him on the squad? Absolutely. safe to say he's generational talent. Only time will tell.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
It hasn't always, you know, worked out. Like, if you look at the 2013 NBA draft, believe it or not, I mean, I can't believe this, but the Cavs drafted Anthony Bennett number one.
Oh, I can believe it.
Like,
yeah. Well, and at the time, like, we were, if this was 2013, you'd be asking me right now, is it safe to say Anthony Bennett is a generational talent?
Very
and
true. I probably would have
given you the same answer I just gave about Cooper Flagg, right? So you never know. Look at Markelle Fultz, man.
Yeah.
He was a unanimous number one pick. He was supposed to be the next superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed up to the NBA and couldn't shoot free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would hate for that to happen to Cooper Flagg. I don't think it's going to happen to Cooper Flagg. He looks incredible. He's a monster, but it's not safe to say yet until he. It's what can you do when the lights are the brightest, right?
Yeah, fair enough. You're probably right about that too, to be honest. Nick, take us through, because this is something which is I found at least very interesting. Commissioner Adam Silver discussing a potential European league and a change in the All-Star format for basketball, because this especially recently re-picked up traction again.
Yeah, so we've seen how a lot of these professional sports leagues have looked to integrate their sport into international markets. We've seen in the NFL with their international games. We've seen the NHL with their international games as well. Now, Adam Silver in the NBA, the NBA commissioner, discussed a potential European league in collaboration with FIBA in Europe. You know, the NBA has marked itself overseas for years, making its televised product available and, you know, staging games and events in different markets. So, you know, dating back to the David Stern era, the idea of a European version of the league was imagined and discussed. You know, it's important to remember that, you know, this is the start of a studying and researching of the new league. And, you know, it's not an official announcement of its debut, but it's something interesting to explore. Silver said, one of the things I'm fascinated in exploring, you know, is the extent we have the ability to create a league from scratch and how we would do things different based on the 79 years of learning in the NBA and based on decades of learning for FIBA. You know, Silver said the project received enthusiastic support from NBA owners, and you know, the FIBA executive committee also had a very similar response in their meeting in Switzerland earlier this month.
Yeah, you know, you said it there. I think I personally think it'd be very interesting. I think it'd be a great opportunity for not only the NBA, but also basketball in Europe. I personally really enjoy watching the EuroLeague. I find it a very interesting style of basketball. You know, was it the 3-point line, I think, which is a little in. And in European basketball, too, like even at the international level, there's rules which we don't see in the NBA, like when the ball's in the cylinder, you can, you know, hit it out or whatever. But I'd be interested to see how this would work, because the EuroLeague being the, you know, premier club competition in for basketball in Europe is pretty solid as a league. So how this would play out then with the NBA kind of, you know, having some European league would be very, very interesting to say the least. And we'll see with the expansion what happens. I think it would be a good time to segue into another one of our special guests joining us, Krishna Dhari. Krishna, thank you so much for joining us. This being your first or your inaugural episode on Spirited Sports. So thank you for being here with us. So with regards to the Raptors, that's the conversation we'll have here at hand. The first question is, why do or don't you think that the Raptors acquiring Brandon Ingram was or wasn't a smart move?
First of all, thank you to Nick and Tolly for inviting me on this episode. Very honored and very privileged to be on here. To answer your question on Brandon Ingram, I think acquiring Ingram was a very smart move for the Raptors because they did not give up that much to get Brandon Ingram. All you gave up is Bruce Brown, who is an overpaid contract, Kelly Olynyk, a veteran, and a first-round pick from the Pacers, which, let's face it, the Pacers are going to be a good team for a long time, and that first-round pick from them is going to be a late first. Plus, you already have Brandon Ingram already signing a contract extension with the Raptors, so that's really going to be big for them. And then, kind of not to mention as well, getting Brandon Ingram was a next-season move, was like pretty much this year's free agency acquisition for them. Because they knew they wouldn't have the salary cap. So they just said, why don't we just trade for him? And then the overall core for the Raptors is just going to look great. With Barnes, Ingram, Barrett, Quickly, Poeltl, and their draft pick this year, I feel like it's going to be a great mix of veterans and youngsters that could hopefully propel this team to a playoff run.
Question two is, why do or don't you think that Darko Rajakovic is or isn't the right coach for the Raptors?
I feel like the current status that the Raptors are in right now, the rebuilding status, I think Darko Rajakovic is the right coach for the Raptors right now. Because like during his time in Memphis as an assistant coach, he has been known to be like a developmental coach, which is what you need during a rebuild. You've had players from the Grizzlies like Desmond Bain compliment him, saying that he's one of the toughest coaches in the league, along with Draymond as well. But I think when it comes to this team wanting to make a playoff push, I would say he's not the right coach. I would say maybe a coach like Taylor Jenkins, who recently just got fired by the Grizzlies. He's got playoff experience. And maybe alongside a certain Mike Brown, who got fired by the Kings earlier in the season. And I wouldn't mind having him as a coach for the Raptors next season. He knows what it's like to coach star players. And he also knows what it takes to develop star players as well, which I feel like is a perfect mix for a young rebuilding team like the Raptors.
Question three is, why do or don't you think that the Raptors will or won't make the playoffs next season?
I do think that the Raptors will be a playoff team next season, play in at the very least, because you look at the outlook of this season, the Raptors are tanking, but yet they're still close to that last play-in spot held by the Bulls currently. Even when you're trying to lose, they still win. You also take into factor the amount of injuries the Raptors have had this season. Emmanuel Quickley's barely been available for them. Scottie Barnes has had his fair share of injuries. So has RJ Barrett. So the core three of like BBQ, Barnes, Barrett, and Quickley have not really been consistently available for the Raptors. But I do think that adding an all-star level player in Brandon Ingram and a top five draft pick, hopefully, next season would give the team far much more depth, much more availability, which is needed for any team to become a playoff team. Your core guys stepping up, being there consistently.
Question four is, why do or don't you think that Scotty Barnes is or isn't the future face of the league?
Don't get me wrong. I love Scotty. I don't think he will be the face of the league. However, I do think he could be the best player on a championship team. I don't think he could be the best scorer on a championship team. And when you're talking about the faces of the league, you kind of think of the past. You think of Kobe, LeBron, MJ. They were all known for being scorers, which that gets you all the highlights. Scotty doesn't do that. He does more than what the box score shows with his elite defense, elite playmaking, and just how petty he is as a defender overall. Those are things that most likely won't even make it on the highlights, which is what gets you recognized by the fans, right? And not to mention, you cannot be the face of the league when you only average 20 points. Because I know, scoring isn't Scotty Barnes' main play. I'd say it's his playmaking and his defense. That's not what gets you recognized in the eyes of the NBA fans as the face of the league.
And the fifth and final question is, why do or don't you think that the Raptors should or shouldn't acquire Joel Embiid in the off season?
Absolutely not. There is not one universe where I want Joel Embiid on the Toronto Raptors. Sure, I know what you might be thinking. Oh, isn't this guy an MVP player? Yeah, he did win the MVP. But he's also one of the most injury-prone players in the league. And it's not even worth getting a player who's injury-prone on a supermax. You see that's working well for the Sixers right now, huh? It's not. You have Embiid, Paul George, Maxey. You think of the star talent on that team, the star level on that team, yet they're out of the playoff picture, yet they're tanking right now. And I don't think that Joel Embiid is going to be a good mix with the Raptors. Overall, he's just way too unreliable. His contract is too heavy. Can't take a supermax contract when you play, 20 games a year? That's not going to happen. And I always like to say the best ability is availability. That's not something that you're going to get with Joel Embiid. You're going to get a couple games out of him at max. He'll always be on a minutes restriction. And I don't think it'd be worth it to take a player who's having the worst year of his career as a top level player to take him in now, especially with the contract that he's on.
Krishna, thank you so much for joining us. I really enjoyed your insightful responses, and we're looking forward to having you join us once again. Krishna, thank you so much. And just before we wrap up this episode, I wanted to thank Owen Hill for making the time to join us here today. It's long overdue. We look forward to having you join us again by any means in the near future, because it's just, we love having you on.
I appreciate it.
And
it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Baseball season's a long one, so we'll definitely have you on more than a few times this season. So.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully the next 161 are better than the first one.
Yes. Yes.
Alrighty. That'll do it for the end of episode number 42. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.